I knew, like, right before I was going on stage, I had all day at my booth to kind of figure out, like, what's my backup plan? Like, what am I going to do, like, when the music's playing, and how am I going to overcome this? And all of a sudden, it was like, bam, I'm backstage, and I'm going on in 3 seconds. And I literally remember standing there just being like, at this point, I don't give a damn. I'm just going to go up there and have fun. And I wasn't nervous at all. It was the weirdest thing. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to fake it and hope it looks good.
Right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo! Applause. All right, today joining me in the producer chair is coming all the way from outer space is Cosmo from the Cosmo Show.
Ooh, how you doing, Derek?
I'm exhausted.
You're
how
exhausted?
Are you?
I don't know. Feeling weird. Energy's weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what else is like super weird? Stage fright.
Yes.
It's spooky.
Stage fright. Oh my God. And believe it or not, we have that. So from time, at least I have it. I admit to it pretty much 95% of the time when I'm ever talking to anybody.
Same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I relate. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I feel like stage fright is such a common occurrence for people who perform as much as we do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people that perform more than we do experience stage fright as much. But weirdly enough, people ask me a lot to describe, like, one, what does it feel like to have stage fright as me? And two, what do I do to overcome stage fright? So I thought it'd be kind of a fun episode for us to give, like, our personal experience and, like, how we know we're experiencing stage fright and what we do to overcome it.
Mm.
And maybe we'll tell some stories that will expose ourselves a little later.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're down to clown and share?
Down to clown and embarrass myself.
Yeah, in the spookiest way. So when I am doing like a show or if I'm giving a speech or I don't know, if I'm doing something that will cause me to be nervous in any way, shape, or form, I have a tip that I think a lot of people will know and probably use. I really like to practice at home and do like a full run of whatever I'm doing, whether it's like a speech or like if I'm singing a song somewhere, I'll just like practice it at home so many times over and over and over again till it's like second nature in my body. So in that way, anytime I'm on stage and people are looking at me, I'm like, yep, I've already done this in my living room. So I'm aware.
Wow. I do it in my head.
Whoa, really? You practice in your head?
I picture it all in my head. I was going to go and just the energy and the overwhelmingness of it. I'm like, how? Because it can be. Especially if you're on stage with lights, extra sounds. If you have an earpiece, then you got somebody else in your head. And it's a lot.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, how do you clock that you're getting stage fright?
Oh, it's, for me, it's the heart rate.
Your heart rate.
My heart rate starts going up. My fingers start tingling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't stop, like, looking around everywhere, like being, I'm observant as it is, but like extra observant, like just looking around, looking at things, ignoring things, and maybe a little bit of a sweat.
Yeah.
And then pacing, like walking or tapping or something crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I do a lot of those. I have like the tapping or the pacing is like my favorite thing to do because it just gets me like, okay, what do I got to do?
Right.
What am I going to say? Who am I going to be? How am I going to talk? Pacing is totally my tell all.
Mm-hmm.
I find that, like, during the day of a performance, I tend to be a little bit more energy conservant. I don't think that's a word, but it will now be a word, where I find myself just being a bit more reserved with people because I'm saving and, like, storing up my energy for the performance or the speech or whatever I'm doing. I don't really sweat as much, but I feel dry.
Yes.
I feel so dry. I'm like, I don't know what causes it in our bodies, but as soon as I know I have to like do something, I can feel my throat and it's just like, ooh, so dry and so tense.
You know, it feels like for me, like if you just had like a Red Bull or a Celsius and like you'd sat in the car doing nothing. Like the first time having an energy drink and you're just sitting in a car driving for a long time and you're like, your heart rate. You're just like, you're like, yeah, I want to move and do something, but I can't. That's what it feels like.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you want to like bust out the energy.
I want to bust out the energy, but yeah. It's hard for me to like, where do I hone it and how do I calm it down without seeming so nervous? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes when you get in a fight or confrontation, you get that nervous feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just like that. It's just, it's weird.
When you're like on the stage performing or like giving that speech, mm-hmm. do you have like a nervous, I don't want to call it like a tick, but like, I think that's the appropriate word for it. Yeah. Like what is your, like, do you have a physical nervous tick or do you have like a sound you make?
I do.
Like
I do.
Uh-oh, here we go. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
What? No way.
I start with the awkwardness. And I was like, what was that? I'm like, okay, cool. And then it's kind of like a barrier block, you know, like a breakdown. It's just like, I do that or I mean, like, we're like, okay, so, or I start off with like, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready, but just be really dramatic.
Oh, okay.
Just to give them, just to take the pressure off of me that I'm going to be this dramatic, but I probably won't be that dramatic. Okay. I'm going to break it down to like seriousness, but it's like, it's, I don't know. It's kind of like a, for me, it's like a flare gun.
I was going to say you're like a firework.
Yeah.
I was totally going to say that.
Like a flare gun, just setting it off. I'm like, here we go. Ready to go. Pay attention. Here we go. Boom. And then once I got everyone's just undivided attention, it's just like, okay, let me lighten this whole mood. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that you just like explode in order to let out all that pent up energy that you've had throughout the day.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a firework. I think I'm a ticking time bomb. Because, it depends on the moment in the scenario. Because sometimes I will explode a little bit. Mm-hmm. I feel like my nervousness, like, especially when I'm on stage, is that I always can feel, like, my foot or my leg shaking.
Yeah.
And I even, like, when I did the 15-minute musical showcase, I was wondering if people could see my foot or my ankle shaking. Because there were times in the show that, like, I clocked it was happening, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how to fix this, but I'm just going to leave it and hope no one can see it. But no one mentioned it, so. And usually people don't, like, run up to you and are like, oh, my God, your foot was shaking, you know.
What about at LACC when you performed?
I actually have that written down as, like, one of my, like, moments of not quite stage fright. Mm-hmm. No, it was the strangest thing because to back everybody up, I mean, you know this story. I've told you a million times. And if you're a regular DeLulu listener, you've probably heard me tell the story. But my music got switched out, like, so last minute. And I had a whole dance routine. I had a whole thing. And I found out that the version that they were going to give me was, like, twice as long. And it wasn't just, like, oh, sing words here, here, and here. It's score from a movie in between the singing. So if you guys have seen Shrek, I think it's the second one with the fairy godmother.
Yeah.
And she sings, I Need a Hero. There's tons of score because Shrek is like riding his horse through the castle. And then there's a giant gingerbread man. And it's a whole thing.
I think it was the second one. I've only seen those movies like once.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's the second one. But I knew like right before I was going on stage, I had all day at my booth to kind of figure out like, what's my backup plan? Like, what am I going to do? Like, when the music's playing and how am I going to overcome this? And all of a sudden it was like, bam, I'm backstage and I'm going on in 3 seconds. And I literally remember standing there just being like, at this point, I don't give a damn. I'm just going to go up there and have fun. And I wasn't nervous at all. It was the weirdest thing. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to fake it and hope it looks good.
Right.
And it felt like it looked good. I mean, I haven't watched the whole performance, if I'm being honest, because I'm too critical of myself. Mm-hmm. So normally if I do a really good job, like with the 15-minute musicals, I watched the whole thing through and through because I was like, good job, me. You worked hard for this. Mm-hmm. But that performance, because I knew that I was given, like I was dealt the wrong hand of cards, so to speak, because everything was so last minute, I definitely, in my mind, I'm like, you know, I did that. I did the best I could. I don't need to rewatch it and relive it. Like, I'm good.
I feel you. It's kind of like drafts on TikToks. You know what?
Ooh.
That's horrible. I don't need to relive that. Yeah. Delete.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Or I'll just leave them to die in the draft folder.
I'm
just
Bye.
Bye. See you later. You're never going to see the light of day. I have so many drafts.
Really?
I have like 96.
Shut up.
It's bad.
Wow.
I have a problem.
Oh my God.
I have so many. But the problem is that I'm excited about making the content in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then the audio is no longer popular.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I can't post this now.
Damn.
It's embarrassing. But anyways, back to stage fright. Do you have any other like little tidbits or tricks that you like to use when you know you're going to perform somewhere or like while you're up there performing? Like, I'd love to hear a couple of your little notes on stage fright.
For back in the days, it was, well, whiskey.
I was going to say drinking too.
Whiskey. One shot of whiskey now gets me like,
what?
I'm ready to go. I'm like, let's do it. I can conquer anything. It's my liquid courage, pretty much. Also, running around in place really fast. Kind of like that scene in Aliens. Well, I don't know if you ever watched the first Alien movie. Mm-hmm. It was the android Ash. It was like doing like... That's what I do. Like, I'm just in place. And I'm like, everything's ready to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. That's one. And then there's what other people say about, you know, looking at, you know, pitching the crowd naked.
Yeah.
Doesn't work for me, at least.
I agree. It just turns me on.
Yes. Yeah, especially when there's like, it turns me on, it makes it awkward, especially when there's friends in front. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, especially when you're like, that was happened a long time ago. Those, all my friends, and most of them were girlfriends. Mm. Not girlfriends, but friends. That
friends
girls.
That were female.
Yes. And, you know, they're all attractive. All my friends are very beautiful. They're all amazing and whatnot. And
I agree.
They come in all shapes and sizes. Beauty. And, yeah, that just didn't help me. And I messed up. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I messed up. I noticed I messed up, but nobody else noticed.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, especially my first band. I was in a band called Metal Souls. Mm. It was a Metallica cover band.
Oh, cool.
And we opened up with For Whom the Bell Tolls, and I reversed the lyrics.
Oh.
I did the second part in the first, and the first in the second.
Okay.
Yeah. No, all the metalheads did not find out. Wow. They didn't catch it. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, this is it. I'm like, I'm done for. It was like my first, I just auditioned with the band. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, yeah, 2 days. We got a show.
Wow.
Big show, too. I was like, damn. Okay, cool. It's like, yeah, no Metallica. I'm a big fan of Metallica. Got it. I go up there and just went, take a look to the sky. Just, you can see it in my face. And so I'm like going like this. I'm like, no. No, it's the second verse. I just kept on going with it. And everyone just going, yeah. I was like,
nice.
Okay, cool.
I feel like even like messing up the lyrics, though, in a weird way, unless the song lyrically goes somewhere, mm-hmm. like Last Name by Carrie Underwood, mm-hmm. I cannot mess up those words because otherwise it ruins the story of the song.
Right.
But I think with like Metallica, I think even if you flip-flopped them, it's, yeah. Right? Like it still tells the story.
Still tells the same story, yeah. It's all metaphors and it's a big giant story, you know, so.
I'm sure, yeah, they probably didn't even notice. They were too busy jamming.
Yeah, so that's one of my first stage fright thing, and then talent show. Talent show that leads into a graduation where I had to play the national anthem on my guitar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went well, but for the talent show, the winners of the talent show gets to perform for the graduation playing the national anthem. Huh. So all these other guitar players went up there. One's acoustics. Actually, most of them are all acoustics. I was the only one with electric guitar. And they plugged it into the sound, the auditorium speakers, had my pedal. That was the first time I ever played in front of people. Mm. I was by myself. Oh. Nervous as fuck. Just like tapping, shaking. The guitars felt extra heavy. The crowd seemed extra crazier. I had like my long hair at the time. So it was like, I wanted to cover my face up with my hair.
Yeah.
Ended up rocking it. And then when it came to the national anthem, the teacher was like, "It's like, you know how to play the Star Spangled Banner." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I do." And I played it like Jimi Hendrix.
Oh.
She got mad about that. The crowd loved it. The crowd loved it. She didn't ask me to practice or show her the song. She just like, "All right, cool. You did well the teleshow. Ready to go. Be here at this time, blah, 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 blah." I'm like, "All right, cool." And I got up there and I played my thing and everyone went crazy. And I looked at my teacher and the teacher was just had that face of like, I'm gonna kill you.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wow.
She,
yeah.
She didn't talk to me the rest of that day at all. No. I was like, how did I do? She's like, she just like looked at me with like so like a look of just like I'm disappointed in you or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Horrible. Horrible feeling.
You were just trying to make it extra fun.
Yeah.
Like, man. I do want to jump back to some other stage fright tips, though, because ooh. I think I have a couple that could, like, that kind of go with what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I liked when you mentioned, like, imagine yourself performing, like, how you said that that was something you really like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I have the same sort of thing where, like, when I am practicing at home, I get through the songs or the speech, and then I'll sit there, and I'll take a second and imagine myself being like, okay, I'm getting up on the stage, I'm walking up to the microphone, and I'm about to sing, and I can hear the band behind me, and I allow myself in my home to get nervous. Mm. So then that way, I can, like, negotiate my voice against the nerves. Mm. So if I do get up there on the day, and I do have a lot more nerves than what I'm used to, I've at least had the practice of, at my house, singing or talking into the microphone while navigating, like, the nervous voice thrills or like the dryness of your throat, so to speak. But yeah, I do the same thing. Imagine yourself performing. I also like to practice in the mirror because I like to like rehearse my facial expressions in a weird way. So then that way I can either set myself up for success if it's like sincere. And that way, if I do have any, like, I have the tendency to like hold my microphone and I do this thing where I kind of like wiggle it while I sing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody who has a lot of vibrato, I don't need to do that. So so I'm trying to unlearn that habit. And it's always when I'm holding the note, too. Mm. I'll be like, woo! And I'm like, girl, don't do that. Like, just keep it. Like,
wow.
You got the vibrato. Don't overdo it. So practicing in the mirror always helps me alleviate a lot of those, like, extra things that I see on myself. And I'm like, ooh, don't do that. That's annoying. I also really like if you are performing at like a venue or if you're giving a speech somewhere, ask for a mic check because that gets rid of like 90% of my nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mic checks are important.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. For me personally, like I know a lot of people don't want, like they'd, no, I don't need one. But like even when I was like 10 years old in pageants and they would have like the stage available for you to like go and practice your talent or your speech or your whatever, I would always take advantage of it. And I wouldn't do the routine full out because girls are very competitive and they would like watch what you do and change what theirs was gonna be. So I would just kind of like mark it, but I still would like get to know the stage, get to know the microphone, get to know the sound people.
Yeah.
Because then you could tell them like, oh, I have an opening speech. And then on this word, if you could hit start on the music, you know, you can negotiate with them how you want it to go. 9 times out of 10, though, the day of, that sound person already has like 18 other people that they have to keep track of.
Yeah.
So they might forget. But it's good if you make friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
So right before you go up at the event, you could be like, hey, don't forget when I say the word time, hit the button, you know, or something, you know, build that rapport. I like sound checks.
Also, the microphone is important too because you don't know how good the microphone is. You can be from this distance, or you can be from this distance and whatnot. You need to know your range and how good the microphone picks up because the guy behind the booth can boost you up. But you just got to know these things. That's really good. You're really good to be prepared with the sound and
sound checks. Yeah, I'm just not somebody like I could wing it if I needed to. But it won't be as good if I don't practice. Like, I grew up doing theater where you would practice for, like, 3 months every day. And then you would open the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, just works for me. And some people can just improv. Like, I feel like you're really good at improv.
I can improv. I just got done with Labyrinth. And
It
was 2 months of rehearsal. And it was 6 acts. And I was in 3 of them. And when we practice in the dance studio, the space is different from what we have on the stage. The stage has a dip, too. Which is kind of scary if you're not paying attention to it. But on that day, when we got on the stage, we had 2 days before opening nights. And I was like, what we had planned out, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the instructor knows me so well. They're like, well, I trust you. Stage yourself where you need to be. Because it got to the point where a lot of us were on one side of the stage. Mm-hmm. It was a chaos moment. It was a well-choreographed chaos moment. Mm. But everybody seemed like to gather in one stage, leaving this other part of the stage open.
Oh, no.
And I was like, and at the end, everyone's collapsed. We collapsed and pretend we're like drinking and saying farewell to the people that we're packing for.
Aw.
And everybody's on that side. So I, on the first night, I was like, I have an idea. I told my friend Angelique, I was like, I'm going to grab you. We're going to do this over here. Mm. She's like, all right, cool. She's like, I'm just going to let it happen organically, see what happens in the next night, which our last night. How it goes. So at the end, right when I saw the cue, I'm like, everyone's about to get in a place to fall down. I grabbed her, brought her all the way over to the other side, to this chest, and the chest door was open. And I slammed it, sat on it. She lay down. We waved. It was perfect. It was like,
aww.
It was like perfectly symmetrical in the way it should have, could have looked like, but it actually did happen that way. And then I got approved. That it was great, whatever it is, keep on doing it. Probably bring one more person to fill in that gap. I was like, all right, cool.
There you go.
So that worked. Improvising.
Yeah, I feel like because you've done so much, like karaoke, KJing, I want to say don't you have like a lot of experience as like an announcer too, outside of KJing?
Yeah. Announcing stuff, hosting stuff, yeah.
So I feel like you really feed off the improvisation and you're really good at just like coming up with things off the cuff. Putting it all together, and with your YouTube channel. Yeah. Don't you write all your own intros? And
I do.
Yeah.
I write it in a way, because it's a teleprompter, mm-hmm. that I can do my own things.
Yeah.
So I write, this is the point, but I leave like the space in between before the next sentence, and like, this is your part to be improvising. Mm-hmm. Just weird things, like whatever. So, yeah, it helps. Teleprompter work helps. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't use teleprompter work. To me, it's like...
You're a natural at it.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But, like, I just, like... I don't know if it's just in the past I've been rubbed the wrong way when actors, like, don't know their lines. And, like, they need, like, the cue cards where their assistant's, like... You know, like, holding it off camera. So, like, to me, it's like... I don't know why, but, like... I don't think I would be good at teleprompters.
I needed that once because I was, like, hired the last minute.
Oh, okay. But
like, the guy just, like, they had no fill-in. It was a promo, or not promo, it was a pilot for a show. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Cosmo, can you come in and just do it? I'm like, the day, like, the morning.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what time do you need me to be there? Like, 8 o'clock. I'm like, where are my lines? We'll email it to you. I was like, we'll get you a car, we'll pick you up, drive you all the way down to Long Beach. I'm like, I have time to read these lines. And these lines were long. And the guy was, like, sophisticated and very smart, and he was a head owner of a new company that was about to open.
Wow.
And I was like, this is not the kind of roles I would audition for, because this is a lot of lines, a lot of words. And I'm like, mm-hmm. fuck. And they're like, at the end, they're like, big cue cards. Like, well, behind the camera, we'll have somebody doing it for you. What's your pace? I'm like, okay, cool. They're like, yeah, we're sorry. We'll do whatever it is to make it easier for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, teleprompter or anything like that? They're like, no, don't have a teleprompter. And so they wrote the lines on big, giant cardboard cards.
Wow.
And just like going like, and I'm just like going along with it.
Dang.
By the fifth take, I had an idea of what I should have said. Mm-hmm. And so I improvised that whole thing. It was like, that was the best take.
Wow.
And I was like, really? They're like, yeah. I was like, I didn't say what you, but I got an idea of what the character was trying to get to, mm-hmm. and how he was trying to come across when he's telling people what to do and get back to work. So I just went on with like, how would I do it? But trying to be professional about it. Mm-hmm. So, and a little bit of snob. The character was a snob. So.
Nice.
Yeah, so. Oh. It was crazy. It was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But all these professional people around me. Oh, no. Even Christy was on that set and some other people and whatnot. And I was just like, I wasn't embarrassed. She probably like asked or vouched for me. And it's like, oh, Cosmo could do it. I'm like, oh, no.
Can I?
Yeah.
That's such a cool story, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was fun. And the pilot went nowhere.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't like do anything with it?
No, they pitched it, and they had other actors and names involved, but mm-hmm. or in mind, but yeah, nothing. I keep on I see that guy every once in a while. I'm like, hey, aww. How's that pilot? He's like, yeah, it's not getting picked up. Like we put it out there. Nah.
They should just put it out on YouTube.
Yeah, I would love it. I would love to have that for just a reel.
So. Yeah.
And I had to sign all these things. There's a lot of SAG people on that on that project. It was crazy.
Dang. Well, if you're watching this and you make any kind of content and you're just like, oh, I'm going to pitch it to all these big networks and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. If it doesn't get picked up, put it on YouTube. Yeah. Tell your friends to go watch it. Because isn't that how, like, Vizzy from Vizzy... I always want to say Vizzy Pop, but that's not right. Her name's... the one who does Has-Been and Hell of a Boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. She wrote this show, put it up on YouTube, and now it's at, like, what, like, 9 million views?
It is ridiculous, because we went to that premiere for Has-Been Hotel, and there was, like, all these cosplayers already. Remember that?
Yeah.
In the lobby. It was just like, this was a preview of a show.
Like, how do people know what this is already?
That it's... It was so intense. But then you guys told me it's been on YouTube, so.
Yeah, I watched the pilot for it. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, if you make a piece of content and you're like, I'm going to put it out and see who picks it up, put it on YouTube. Because you never know who's watching.
Yeah.
You literally never know. So don't give up. Wow, I'm so blown away by that story about you being on set, though.
Yeah, that was. I just had to remember that because it was like recently. Like, when's the last time you're talking about cards and actors not knowing their lines? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know my lines. My lines are huge.
But you didn't. It wasn't your fault.
No, it wasn't my fault. Yeah, I felt like, I don't know. I'm not an actor or anything like that. I've done acting, but it does a lot of pressure. I didn't want to let anybody down. Sure. And it's somebody's pilot, so. They're going to pitch this, and then, you know, I'm just like, wow. And I got vouched for. Mm-hmm. So that was crazy. And paid for it, too. That was great.
But... Yeah, see, if that scenario were to happen to me, I don't know if I would have done it. Mm. Like, if it's that much lines and that much is, like, riding on you and your character, like.
I didn't know halfway until I was in the car reading the lines. I'm like, this is the main character, almost.
Shoot, yeah.
This is not like a side guy I can work with. A guy that pops in and out, like Kramer. From Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Fine, but damn. All mostly on screen and going through a tour and had to learn all of these. It was a video game company business. It's kind of like The Office, but for a video game. Mm-hmm. And it was just like all of these historical people that are being motion captured. Wow. And I had to go down through each. Oh, it was a lot. It was crazy.
Yeah, hard pass. I don't know if I would have been that composed, but it sounds like you had communication with the director, so you could like, hey, this is a lot to learn. Like, what's your expectations of me? So at least they could, you know, they knew that you weren't the original actor who was cast in it, so they were aware and just grateful that you could fill in.
I just hope they didn't think that I was like some kind of like renowned, like I've been doing this for a long time, so learning a script wouldn't be that hard. Yeah. But it was kind of difficult.
Oh, my God. It probably was insanely difficult.
And I'm a little dyslexic, too. So that's one of my handicaps.
Reading is hard. Reading is difficult.
Speaking of awesome and amazing, you're single.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by the time this episode comes out, it'll have been out for a minute. Right? So, yeah.
It's awesome. It sounds amazing.
Thank you. I didn't have stage fright with this song, but I definitely have been very nervous with this album, like what people will think of it and how they will digest their music. But so far, everybody's been saying amazing things. So I'm like, oh my God.
Hell yeah.
It's going really good. So I can't wait. I have 9 other songs, 9 original songs that'll be coming out as we go. We're kind of spacing them all out, breadcrumbing. But yeah, I'm just... I don't know. It's such a strange world we live in. Like, I don't think people realize that, like, I never set out to be a songwriter. Mm-hmm. Like, this was just, it's something I always wanted to do, but I never thought I'd be good enough. Stage fright. Right? I never thought that would be something I would be good at or something people would want from me or something that people would enjoy from me. And I literally got discovered because of retail therapy.
That's awesome.
Like, that silly little bip-bop song that I made for no reason other than, like, oh, it might be fun to make a TikTok song, literally got me discovered. So you truly never know where things are going to take you.
This is very true.
Yeah.
Life is a journey,
not
a destination.
Oh, it's so cool. So I'm happy people are enjoying it and... Oh, it's so great. Also, speaking of things that I enjoy, if you're looking at my lovely outfit today,
Ooh.
this outfit is from Sugar Stitch Clothing.
Hey.
They're not a sponsor because I bought all this with my money dollars, but I really love the clothing that Amber makes, and it really fits your body really nicely. Super fun, kind of spooky vibe. So if you want to grab yourself something, be sure to check out their website. I have a video on my Dare Wears channel where Chrissy and I shop from some small businesses. This is one of them that's featured. So be sure to go give that video some love if you haven't seen it. And if you're somebody who likes the spooky vibes, go check out Sugar Stitch Clothing and see if there's something that you might want for your body.
Nice.
Super cute. But speaking of things that are also kind of spooky, like stage fright, we have a Patreon, ooh, where we're going to be talking about a scary stage fright story. I have a really embarrassing one that I don't want to share on YouTube or wherever you listen to this podcast. So be sure to check out our Patreon. Literally, the lowest tier is $5. Skip your Starbucks coffee for the day and come join us on Patreon. We're averaging about 3 episodes per month, which
Wow.
is great.
Nice.
We're killing it over there. And we already have 22 patrons.
Hey.
Eventually, I want to actually make like a card that we can shout out all their names because I think it'd be
Yeah.
really fun to give them some support. And we're going to be adding some more tiers later on. We do have a $50 tier that I'm going to add some spooky surprises to very soon. So keep an eye out
Ooh.
for it. Also, be sure to subscribe to The Cosmo Show. Be sure to
Hey.
catch up on all the episodes. Or
Yeah.
wait, it's the Cosmo Network now.
Yes, not yet.
Well, it's
But
coming.
in 2000, okay, next year on my birthday, I'm gonna change the name. I'm gonna have a little party and change the name from the Cosmo Show channel to the Cosmo Network.
Oh, I love it.
And we're gonna have like four new shows on it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it'll be a one-stop hop. The whole month will be filled with stuff, content. So
Nerdy content.
nerdy
Love it.
content,
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
right? I am stoked. I am very
So
stoked.
many big things. So be sure to subscribe to the Cosmo Show slash upcoming network. Be sure to check out Dare Wears, which is my YouTube channel about fashion. And be sure to leave us a great review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to us. We would so greatly appreciate it because, again, we are new and every view, every comment, every 5-star review really, really helps us in the algorithm. It pushes it out to more listeners. So thank you so, so much. We greatly appreciate you all. We hope you're staying spooky and safe this Halloween season. And be sure to stay DeLulu because it's the Salulu. And don't forget to subscribe.